They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
Welcome to a very special outside broadcast edition of Shitting with the Door Opened.
Special in many ways.
It is special in many ways. I'll set the scene for you. We're sitting at Centenary Lakes in Caboolture.
Home of the Caboolture snakes. Let's go, snakes! I was born a snake and I'll die a snake.
If you're listening to this now, come down and say g'day.
We'll be here all day. There's a bin chicken coming to say hello.
We got a little bin chook here. There's some bearded dragons / water dragons right beside us in the bush. It's lovely.
And we're together.
We are together in the same space. And I guess the reason that
I'm going to reach out and touch you right now.
Oh.
I did it.
Oh. The reason we're doing this is because of the volume of children I have, and you've been at our house now for 2 days,
yep.
And we recorded one very drunken Patreon episode.
Which may or may not come out.
But as you're already well aware of, Wade, it's very fucking hard to get anything done at my house.
It's a beautiful chaos,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
It is excellent. But yeah, because your kids are of an age.
Yeah.
Where they're just constantly there. You know, like they're always just like, All four of them.
One of them's with us.
Yeah.
And we'll interrupt this podcast. And like they are all of an age that is got its own very specific high needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the infant to the 4-year-old to the almost 7-year-old to the teenager. And there would be no way we could press record on this at home and get through more than 5 minutes.
No, because there would be somebody coming up and there's always an interruption. But that is also, that's life.
Yes.
Like that takes precedent over the podcast, which I find very strange. I think your priority's a bit out of whack, but okay.
I do like that you've come here for a visit, and like we've been excited in the lead up to it. It's been exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But I did say to you the other night, you're going to need a holiday from my kids when you go home before you go back to your kids, because like as soon as you arrived, I'd been away for 5 days, and then we arrived back together, and Marigold has basically not left your side.
No, she's very much like, hold my hand, I'll sit on your lap. She snuggles in. It's excellent. I love it.
Did not give a shit that I'd come home.
No.
Yeah. It took, I reckon, about 4 or 5 hours after I'd got back to get a cuddle. Yeah. She's like, but Wade's here.
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
But man, I love your kids. They're so great, but they're all so different.
Mm.
They're very different. It's not like you've got like four of a like. You've got like four very, well, the baby, who knows what he's doing. But you know, like your oldest is like so inventive. Always creating.
Yes.
Always making shit. Always just building. Always just like whips and knives and all that kind of stuff. And it's, I fucking love
And stories.
And stories. And then you've got like a mini Steve Irwin.
Yeah, Walter is absolutely that.
We went down to the beach the other day and you're like, he's the crab king. And I watched him and he's like, he is the crab king. He's just finding crabs. He's picking them up. He's getting lizards. He's like showing them to me. He's like getting bugs. He found like a dead cicada skin the other day. And this morning actually. And he's showing it to me. Look, it's a dead cicada. I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's a dead cicada. He's like, yeah, but look at it. Look at it. I'm like, okay, Steve. Watch out for stingrays, mate.
Yeah, and also because he's obsessed with crabs at the moment because there's a heap around the bay area we live in. I had to get one of the car seats out to pick up my niece, Bridie, the other day. And there's a fucking whole crab claw just in the car. Like, great. Wondered where the smell was coming from.
I was like, yeah, it's the Crab King. And then Marigold, the third, I guess she would be.
Yes.
Yep. She is just a real cliche princess, unicorn.
Yeah.
She just snuggles in.
Yeah.
She wants to hold your hand.
Yeah.
She's a real sweetheart.
Well, as we've been calling her, and she really likes this, she's the grubby princess.
Yeah.
Because she is. She like, there's all these, you know, loves unicorns, obsessed with the idea.
She gets in the muck.
Yeah, but she gets filthy.
She'll get under the house with Walter, and they're just crawling around. They are getting filthy. It's very
crawling
funny.
Around in the dog filth.
Yeah.
But with a princess mermaid dress on.
Yeah. Show me a picture of a unicorn.
Yeah.
Okay, that's excellent. And so it's not like, oh, sure. She comes up to me this morning. She's like, show me some unicorns. So all right, yeah, get my phone out, some unicorns. And she's just pointing to these powerful motherfuckers. She knows what she wants to see. Show me the Pegasus. I'm like, all right, here's a Pegasus. And she just wants to see the fucking muscle Pegasus.
Yeah, she does.
Wants to see like these beautiful, muscly Pegasus. Yeah, anyway, it's great.
The one that are shooting flames out
of
their nostrils.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, yeah, she's the grubby princess. Anyway, I'm having a great time, but there's no denying it's chaotic.
It's chaotic and it's hot as hell. Wade is now shirtless. Seriously, if you're listening now, come on down.
I thought I heard a few ovaries popping.
Because it is muggy. And hot, and it's a different environment than you're used to.
It is very, very sticky, and it's hot. But, Anne, as you said...
What about the temperature?
It's very sticky. As you said, like, ages ago, I think you were talking about in comedy, Queensland just moves slow.
Yes.
And you get up here, because I haven't been up here in so fucking long. Yeah. I've been to Brisbane in years. Yeah, well, before the girls. And you get up here and you're like, fuck, it is sticky, it is hot, it is muggy. Everything moves slow, but it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm having such a nice time.
And you're sleeping in the tent in the backyard.
Which I think, honestly, is probably the best place to sleep at night.
It's better than our house because the house heats up and the heat does not leave it.
Yeah.
And the tent, which is, you know, it's by design, because it's like that... teepee sort of big high point, and then it's got the air vents out the top. It doesn't hold onto the heat. As soon as the sun's gone, it's a nice, cool, breezy place to be. And
100%.
There's been a couple of nights where I'm like, I might go and get in there with the Wado.
It's really cool. Like during the day, it's super sticky. I just don't go in there during the day. But at night, I hop in there, just in the undies, job done.
Yes,
it's great.
Yeah. Well,
Christmas is coming.
Christmas is upon us. Christmas sneaks up on me every year because I never...
Every year.
Well, because I don't take time off.
No.
I work straight through. I don't even... Like, my last gig of the year is the last day of the year. This has been the case for, a decade. My first gig of the year is the first day of the year.
Yeah.
So there's no sort of ceremonial break. And so I've just... come off 2 weeks of Breakfast Radio. I'm straight out on to doing some gigs around the Sunny Coast area, and then I'm straight to Woodford, and then I forget. Oh, it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas, and my kids are pumped. And so this is officially the Christmas ep.
Yes, this is welcome to the Christmas ep. there are gifts that you can buy for yourself.
Which is great because after this we'll be taking just a couple of weeks off. Christmas period.
That's an announcement that we were just breezing over there. But we will not have any of the main episodes through most of January, partly because of the distance and the trouble to try and record. You will be in Perth, Western Australia.
And so the time difference there will be a bit out. It's only be a couple of hours, I think.
It's three now because of daylight saving.
Right, so it's three. And then I'm not sure how good my internet will be where I will be.
Yeah. And also, we're just having... this is hard work doing one of these a week.
I've got my top off. My penis is out.
The police have been called.
Many times. But I refuse to put it away. This is a free country. I'm a sovereign citizen.
It's the kombucha snakes.
Why would you sell us the kombucha snakes? We can't get our dicks out in kombucha. Come on. I find sovereign citizens so funny.
It is very funny.
And when you see like the videos and you see like the police, for all their faults, the patience they have. Dealing with some of these sovereign citizens, you see some of these videos and you can just see them just going, oh my God.
And quoting details to laws that just don't exist.
Yeah.
So, fun fact that I think it was in a news article, but they just went, it wasn't an opinion piece. Let's just go to the brass tax facts. This is it. Out of all of the cases that have ever been brought to courts by sovereign citizens, whether it's something to do with a speeding fine or whatever it is, that they go, no, I'm a sovereign citizen, you can't do that. Zero have won. Zero have got any kind of concession or compensation in the courts because it doesn't exist. It's not to say that I'm not sympathetic to the idea of people saying, I don't want to be a part of a system that I think is corrupt or doesn't support me or whatever that.
Yeah.
But wherever you're born in the world, you have been born into a system that now you are a part of. And there are a set of rules that you have to, whether they're right or wrong, there's heaps that I think are completely fucking cooked and bullshit.
Yep.
For instance, I've smoked cannabis since I was 14 years old.
Yep.
And I'm not going to stop. And I just got a prescription, so everyone can go fuck themselves. But I think that law was wrong. I don't think it was ever right. From the very start of the prohibition on cannabis, I thought it was wrong. However, I have run the risk in the past of being fined or even jailed for that. But that would still be the ramifications for me, even though I think the law is wrong. I don't get to go, I'm a sovereign citizen.
Yeah, no, but the problem with the...
Enjoy your sovereignty in jail then.
I guess it is the problem. Is it's like so many people live in an echo chamber.
Mm.
So they live in an online echo chamber where they're surrounded by other people who are telling them, like, giving them terrible advice.
Yes.
Giving them terrible, like, legal, and I'm using quotation marks here, like legal advice.
Yes.
They're looking at what's happening in the States, what's happening in the UK and in Europe, and they're finding, like, examples of people, not examples of people, they're finding people who they agree with over there. And they go, oh, sweet, I'll just use that.
Yes.
And then these people are giving them misinformation. And I think a lot of the people giving misinformation are just trolls.
I think so too. I think there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, they're just like, this is hilarious. I'm going to tell this guy. Just quote Mark Humphreys, you know, like, not Mark Humphreys, Humphrey Bear, I was going to say.
Oh, Humphrey Bear. Mark Humphreys, a good satirical comedian.
Yeah, Humphrey Bear. You know, I've lost the plot. I'm going to edit that bit out.
Well, no, don't edit it out. It was great. this is what the heat does to your brain. Because this is the problem with the internet, is that whatever you think, whatever you believe in, you can find something to back that up on the internet.
100%.
And it seems like it's been vetted and published, but it hasn't. It's just been written and put out there.
Yes.
And there's no fact checking. So whatever you believe, you can go and see, I told you, you're like, yeah, but I don't think that's a peer-reviewed study. Like,
no.
I don't know that that's accurate.
No, that confirmation bias where they're just kind of looking for the stuff that they want to find is crazy. And I live in a little echo chamber.
Yes.
I live in a little bubble.
Yeah.
But I feel my bubble is correct.
That's the problem with bubbles. Well, let's talk about quite a personal example of this. Just last night, when my eldest child was going on about, in his mind, facts around ADHD.
Yeah.
Now, he's 13, and all of the facts that he's getting on ADHD are coming from the only real version of social media that he can access, which is YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have the Instagram Reels or things like that, but they're basically the same thing, these YouTube Shorts that pop up. And he just sits there and goes through YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
And there is so much ADHD information because it's very popular at the moment.
Yeah.
So it moved from health advice into influencers getting clicks. There are so many accounts dedicated to what it's like living with ADHD.
And you need, as you said yesterday, like some of the stuff he was saying was correct.
Yes.
But the problem is that some of it was correct and so it was kind of scattered throughout this misinformation.
Yes.
And as you said yesterday, like until you get a diagnosis, you don't know.
From a psychiatrist.
From a psychiatrist.
That's where you get the diagnosis from.
Yeah, you've got to go to a professional.
Yes.
You've got to go to the person who gives these diagnoses and they will fucking give you the answer.
Yes. As I call them, the gatekeepers. well, because I have a problem with that too, right? Because it's incredibly financially prohibitive to get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
I don't have one in part because, as I said to my kid, I said, you don't have ADHD, Leonard. He's just convinced he does. He's just decided he has it. He's 13. He has never been anywhere near anyone, a medical professional that suggested that he does.
Yeah.
I think... I see some traits in him that are possibly that.
Yeah.
He's also a teenager and his mind's running at 1,000 miles an hour. So then I talked about myself and I said, and I will say I also don't have it because I haven't had the diagnosis.
Yeah.
However, there's some things I see in myself where I go, I think I've probably got this. But so what I've done is put in place some systems and mechanisms to help me function better in life.
Yeah.
And that's just something I'm choosing to do myself. And I think that's probably a good solution for a lot of people. For others, a diagnosis would be very helpful, and maybe they could even have some medication. But I'm worried about the volume of information that's being absorbed by my child.
The volume of misinformation that's yes. out there, especially with a medical diagnosis, especially with something like ADHD or being neurodiverse.
Yeah.
Or even if you go to like gluten-free, dairy-free, yes, you go correct. To that side of yep. stuff. Anything like anti-vax. There's yes. just so much misinformation out yep. there, and people are just plucking what yep. they need. Plucking what they need.
And then we haven't even talked about the really danger side of all of this when you've got kids that age that are consuming stuff from Andrew Tate.
Oh.
You know, and I know that my kid brought him up. He hasn't been watching the stuff, but his friends are, so they're talking about it.
Yeah.
And having this sort of unvetted, unguided discussion around some really big subjects that, again, we've said this so many times, that was just never an issue for me growing up.
No.
We didn't have that kind of free-flowing volume of information.
There wasn't like this dude on the other side of the world being toxic. If he was, he was talking to the people in front of him. Or like totally. Maybe radio. Like that was
yeah,
his like
possibly,
limit.
Possibly.
But now it's kind of gone global. And because there's a huge backlash, and rightly so, against Andrew Tate, he's a piece
yes.
of shit.
Yeah.
He's a fucking low cunt dog. And you can tell him I said so. Because there's this huge backlash against him, it also makes young boys want to listen to him.
Totally. Oh, you're telling me I can't? Well, that's what I'm going to do then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is fucking stupid, but that's how people are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's why prohibition doesn't work. As soon as you yeah. say no to it, well, then they go, okay, well, I'm going to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
Rather than have, I mean, it's a hard thing, man. Like, how do you have discussion around that guy and some of the incredibly dangerous, toxic things?
Yeah.
So, because I'm grappling with this on how to talk to my kid about it.
Yep.
While also going, just don't watch that stuff.
Yeah.
Just don't watch it.
Like, that's the best way.
Yeah.
But then if they've got questions, you're going to have to... You want to be able to answer them.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think will mean... I don't have to do it yet, but we're going to get to the point where I'm going to have to start consuming that sort of information. So I know what's being said.
And fucking once you start, you watch that algorithm change.
I know it happened.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a bit of that happening. Just because I wanted to know what was going on during the really hecticness of COVID.
Yeah.
There was a huge rise in sovereign citizens and,
yeah.
and a huge rise in anti-vax and then a lot of yelling from both sides.
You know,
the left just yelling, you're an idiot, just take it, you know. And you're like, well, that's not a discussion. That's not an open forum.
That's not going to help anybody.
Yeah.
Do you want to be right or do you want to get results?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes those two things are not the same.
Yeah. Well, like I watched two or three... when I first heard his name, Jordan Peterson clips.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck is going on with my algorithm? Yeah. I'm going to fix this.
Back to the porn.
Yeah. But you, like, I don't think, I guess my point there is you can't just bury your head in the sand and go, well, I disagree with it, so I'm not going to consume it. Because, well, if my kid is, then... I need to know what it is. So then I'll probably have to go off and to probably use an inappropriate quote, do my own research.
Yeah.
But I will have to.
Yes.
I'll have to go and figure it out and find some ways to get the right information to him.
And
rather than just go, that's wrong.
And in a way that that gets through.
Yes.
Which is the hardest part.
Yeah.
The hardest part. Look, you know, teenagers, they just think they're correct.
Mm.
That's 100% what they think they know. Because for them, they've come out of childhood, and now they're like entering this like near adult state,
yes.
but not quite adult state. You know, like they're getting bigger and they're fucking learning so much more and their comprehension.
They're spending
better.
More time without you and more time with their friends.
100%. So they're getting more independent. Because they're more independent, why would you park right fucking there? That is
such
so
a weird thing to do.
Fucking weird. Unless you're turning around, that is the fucking oddest thing. So what's happened there is we are in a giant fucking park. And there
huge.
Are, there are car parks, hundreds of car parks.
Yeah.
I can see them.
Yep.
Hundreds. And there are car parks in the shade.
Yep. Like all over the place.
All over the shade.
With no one nearby.
And what this lady has done, she has pulled up right next to our car. And now she's driving off because she's probably a fan of the podcast. She probably just got a bit starstruck.
Well, we did say come on down.
Also, my penis is out, and you can see it from a long way away. It is bright red. It's glowing.
That was incredibly weird.
It was so weird.
I think she got weirded out because you were just looking at her, pointing in another direction.
But I was like looking at her like with the mic as well, like pointing this way, pointing another way.
She's live streaming this at the moment.
Anyway, this is the Christmas ep. This is what you get.
It's kind of, I feel like, I feel a sense of rushing because I've just been away a long time, and I maybe naively thought we could get some done at home. It just hasn't been done. But so now I want to give a great episode. It's the Christmas ep, but I also need to get home.
Yeah.
I've only got one of the 4 million children with me.
Yeah. We are getting through this fast because we have other stuff that we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to say too, by the way, you being at my house is so great. You, because you're a dad and you're for a lot of your girl's life been the primary carer, you see things that need to be done and you get them done.
Yeah.
I've cooked pretty much every meal since we've been
home. And it's
been
great.
And you've almost done every set of dishes.
Yeah, I see how busy you guys are.
Yeah.
There's a new baby. You're busy like wrestling other kids. Like, I'll just go do that. Job done.
Yes.
And then, yeah, it's great. Also, yep. Just like sitting down with your kids, playing with the Lego.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Walter said to me, because he goes off to record a podcast, and I get, and he goes, make sure you say on the podcast that we build a 3-story house. So
there you go, Walt.
We built a 3-story house. We did. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but you see it too. Like, I mean, I know it's really similar for you too with just 2 children, but you are feeding them all day.
Yes.
Like, literally, that's what I've been doing since we got back, is hanging out with you, having great chats,
yep.
But while I'm making food. You kind of finish the cleaning of the first meal,
yep.
And you're basically into prep of the next meal.
Yeah, it's constant. And, like, the girls are the same. It's constant, like, we're hungry, hungry, hungry. Well, I've made lunch. Oh, we're not hungry now. Like, of course you're fucking
yeah,
not.
Yeah, of course you're fucking not. Well, even this morning, Leonard hadn't even finished chewing his breakfast. And he goes, Dad, can I have some more food? How about you just let it hit your stomach?
Yeah.
Just, and I was still eating because I always eat last. I make sure everyone's got food. Yeah. And then I'm eating and he's going, I need food. Could I please, like, if I don't fill up with energy, I'm not going to have it.
It is a constant thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, do you have any plans for Christmas? I know you don't have much on.
No, we kind of...
Like, it's very relaxed, isn't it?
I don't know if I've talked about this to you on the pod before, but Christmas is it's a little bit of a non-event for me because it used to be a very big deal. It was a very busy time for my dad, the Methodist reverend. So we were, that was, you know, Christmas and Easter is peak time at the church. And it was always very church focused, very birth of Jesus focused. It wasn't that we weren't allowed to believe in Santa. We just didn't believe in Santa. It wasn't part of the story. The Christmas story was the story of Jesus. And so then... Since I've moved on from the church and moved on from my faith and religion, it kind of feels like, well, I don't really think much about this.
Yeah, sweet.
I'm not a Scrooge about it.
Yeah.
That I don't do something for my kids, but it's not a massive deal unless we're invited to someone's house. Like in the past, we've gone to your house and that was a nice celebration. Yeah. Or I think it's maybe once every 3 years. My immediate family, my siblings and all of our kids, we all meet together.
Yeah.
Unless it's that, it's, you know, we've got Christmas decorations around the house. They're all homemade.
Yeah.
We've got a little kind of tree set up and there's some gifts under the tree and the kids will wake up and that'll be exciting. We have the Santa myth still going for the 2 middle ones, and Leonard's been great with that as well because he obviously doesn't believe in it anymore. Yep. But he's helping that sort of fantasy continue. So we'll do a bit of that. I might buy something a little bit fancy.
Yeah.
But we eat pretty well all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
We've always got nice food.
Yeah.
So it might just be a little bit Christmassy theme. The other reason for us that Christmas isn't really a big deal is that Woodford's such a big deal.
Yeah.
Woodford Folk Festival is our kind of big celebration.
Yeah.
And it starts 2 days after Christmas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's we won't do much. We'll take it really easy. It's going to be hot as hell.
Yep.
We'll try and keep cool. You and I just went to Bunnings and bought a big length of black building plastic that we're going to put a slip and slide in.
Slip and slide.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there might be some family members who will drop in. We'll wander down to the beach.
Yeah, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
We, like, when I was, like, growing up, Christmas was, like, a big deal, but not religious-wise. It was just Santa-wise and family. Family. It was all family.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, especially into my later teens and early 20s, I just kind of, like, for me, it was just, like, a day that I wanted to hang out with my mates and have a few beers.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Like, you're kind of, like, meant to see family and stuff, but I just want to see my friends. And then, you know, as I got married to Claire, she's, like, really into it. Like, you know. And so I was like, all right, well, we'll just do whatever you want to do. That's fine. But it wasn't until the kids came along that I was like, oh, okay.
Let's do something.
Let's do something. And I can see... I can see the appeal here.
Yes.
I can see the appeal because the girls get so excited. And this year we'll be in Perth because we rotate Perth, Melbourne, New Zealand. Perth, Melbourne, New Zealand.
Yeah.
This year we're in Perth. And her family are super excited. And they always have like this beautiful lunch at her nana's, at Claire's mum's place.
Great.
And it's like, there's like, you know, 20 odd people there and there's a grill kind of spread.
Awesome.
And everyone's sitting around having some chats and the girls are loving it kind of thing. So it's going to be a really nice traditional.
Yeah.
But lovely time.
And if nothing else, right, like that's just an excellent thing to do any time of the year.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need special days to justify doing it.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
There's this day, this is the reason that we're all going to get together. Excellent. Let's lean into it.
Well, Claire's family, I'm actually quite lucky because I like all her extended family. So when they have like these Christmases there, I don't care who I'm sat next to because I know I'm going to get a good chat.
That's awesome.
Next to Cam, fucking great. Next to Andy, fucking great. Next to Rebecca on Valentine, fucking great.
That's
it doesn't
awesome.
Matter. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to have some good chats.
Yeah.
It's the best. But they also do this thing where I think it's like every second Sunday or it's a very regular basis. They'll have like lunch at Jackie's, at Claire's mum's place.
That's great.
And they have like a family lunch there. And just on top of that, my cousin who lives in Invercargill, every Tuesday, he has kind of like a family dinner. Like his kids, he's only a little bit older than us, but he had kids like pretty young. So they're all like grown now. But they still come over on Tuesday for lunch. And they bring their partners.
Really?
And they'll have like some other people, whoever isn't like around and wants to come can kind of just stop
That's
in.
That's great.
It's just beautiful community thing.
Yeah.
And I'm so fucking into it. And I think when we get back to Melbourne, and we're back in our house, I want to start like once a Sunday a month.
I think it's a really good idea.
Not every Sunday, because I reckon that'd be a bit too much.
Yeah.
But once a month, you're just like, yeah, it's just come on down for a barbecue. Yeah.
That's going to be going through the... You're whacking the table.
That was my penis. I'm obsessed with it. It's just a very moderate, beautiful penis. It's an average size penis.
It's a good tool.
It's a good tool. It gets the job done sometimes.
Not as good as mine.
No.
I really got the job done. Were you there? Were you outside with quite panic in his voice when Leonard just went, Dad, have you had a vasectomy yet? And I said, no, mate. And he goes, please do it. Okay, buddy. All right. Fine. Yeah, but on the subject of what you just said, the once a month, if you want a tradition, you've got to build it.
Yes.
You know, if you're void of one. If there's something not happening and you're like, oh, because I was just thinking that, God, I wish that I had some sort of community that once a month we'd just meet up and we'd have lunch together. Well, then I've got to build it.
And it's that beautiful thing that goes on in European families and like Asian families. And I'm generalizing a lot here. I realize that.
Well, but it's out of my friends, Europeans and Asians are the ones that have these big sort of family gatherings on a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I realize that's very stereotypical.
Sure.
But it also, I think it does happen. And I want to build that thing. I want to build that community. And I think you have that community now and you hold on to it as you get older and it can only be a great thing.
Yeah. And then your kids know that there's a group of people that they can lean on.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about having lunch once a month. It's about building relationships with other adults and your kids.
Yep.
That if... for whatever reason, you can't support them, and you can't be there for them. That there's all these other people, and that's part of the move for us is trying to create that. It's been a busy time for us, with the main reason being the birth of the new child, But that's what I want, is to create those kinds of friendship groups. And it just dawned on me, we've been invited to school mums. They do a Christmas kind of lunch just a weekend before Christmas.
Yeah.
And Hannah said to me yesterday, are we going to go to that? And I was like, ugh. Well, that's the absolutely the wrong energy. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's go to it.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly, exactly. Building community. And I know we talked in the last episode, sometimes, you know, if your community's not great, blah, blah, blah. But build a great community.
Yeah.
Just build the great community. Where you can. And that will make you much happier.
And I also think, you know, on that idea of the working on the cliches of what groups get together, there's been a real separation of people from each other in the suburban sprawl. You know, our fences are higher, we don't talk to our neighbours, we don't know them, we don't interact. Often we move away from where our families are. You've certainly done that. I had done that for 21 years, and I've just moved back for this reason. That we're shutting doors, we're pulling blinds down, we're holding people away.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a big shift that people are like, actually, I need people around me.
That's what's important.
And it's getting harder and harder just to exist. I think there's going to be a lot more sharing of resources with each other.
And as you said last week, friends are the family you choose.
Mm.
And that could not be more of a true statement where I am living at the moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a great little...
We've got a really great little fucking community. Like, the school community's great. I've got a good friendship group there. Now that you've gone, it's much better.
That's painful. That hurts. Hit me in the feels. Yeah, I see you replacing me. It's taking a lot of people, though, isn't it? It's not just one.
No, there's like five of them.
Yeah.
I've had to create five new friends.
I leave a big hole.
Oh, a very big hole. I'm making new friends at the moment, actually. And it's like a real effort. It's a real let's catch up for a coffee. Let's catch up for a drink. Let's go for a walk. And it's a real kind of, it's not easy.
No.
It's really got to put the effort in there, but it's also great. I'm enjoying it.
Well, I look at I've spoken to you about this, the old fellow that lives across the road from me, whose wife just passed away.
Yeah.
I would, at a guess, say he's mid to late 80s, and she would probably be about the same.
Yeah.
And there's just a bit of sadness in me about him, that he's just a man on his own in that house. Both, he's got two sons who've got children themselves. I only know this from him. They have they live quite a distance away.
Yeah.
So this guy, I don't think he's got many friends. And his wife has just died. And I look at that and go, at all costs, I have to, for the next 40 years, build up a scenario where that doesn't happen to me.
100%.
You know, so that there's people around you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who don't need to, you can just call up for a beer. You can call up for a chat. You can go around for dinner. So you've got that support network, that emotional fucking support network, which is more important as you get older than ever.
Mates to laugh with, mates to cry with.
Yeah.
And part of my impediment at the moment, we're very new in this area. We've only been here 6 months. And so we will get more in our community and more in our little social network. I'm making the decision to really cut back on grog once again.
Yeah.
I've just come off 2 weeks off. We had quite a boozy episode the other night, which was fun. It was great. But I'm now...
But we both woke up the next day going, well, that was fun, but I would wish I felt... better.
Yeah, it was fun, but I don't think it was so fun
that we needed to do it. Yeah.
And so then, but what happens to me is I get invited to these sort of social events. I'm like, oh, I'm not drinking. Why would I go?
Yeah.
Well, why would drinking be the only reason you go?
But I'm exactly the same. And like when we were catching up, it was like, we haven't seen each other in so long. We had to say, we'll have a celebratory beer.
Mm.
But that's because we've learned.
Yes.
That is 30 years of fucking learned behavior.
Yeah.
And now to kind of unlearn that is going to take, as we've talked about it before, it's just going to take a while.
Well, and it's also, alcohol takes out so much social anxiety for me.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to find things to say or hear things I don't really want to talk about.
Yeah.
Or have a boring conversation.
Yep.
I'm so fearful of boring conversations.
I'm so fearful of like just being stuck in a conversation and not knowing what to say.
Yes.
And somebody's talking to me and I just feel like an idiot and stupid. So you have a few beers and then you're just saying idiotic things and stupid things.
Yeah.
So you're looking.
Yeah.
But you feel great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just getting through that. Back to your point, though, on finding mates to laugh with and banks to cry with. Just super quick. It is so much easier to find mates to laugh with.
Yes.
It is fucking a lot rarer to find that mate to cry with. Especially, yes. I think, once again, this is generalizing, stereotypical, especially as a straight dude.
As a straight white male, that would probably be the hardest thing, is to find a bloke that you can cry with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have that in you.
Yeah, and I've got that in you.
Yeah. And I'm fortunate to have that with both of my brothers. But I see a lot. We just went to Bunnings to buy that bit of plastic for the slip and slide.
Yeah.
And the guys that were doing the sausage sizzle was a local men's shed. And good on them. That's great. And,
yep.
And my kid was very inquisitive about, why isn't there a woman's shed? And yeah. I sort of just tried to, rather than make it a gendered thing, just say, you know what, there is some men, especially the men that are aged there, that like the company of men,
yeah.
and just want to be together. And I hope for them that they have created an environment where they can, if someone needs to have a cry, that they can sit and do that.
100%.
And I think it's an important thing. It's a difficult thing to find.
It's very difficult.
Especially that generation of men. Like we're talking, all of those blokes were over the age of 65. That
yes.
were running that sausage stand.
And so, but if they've found like a mate now that they can have a bit of a cry with,
yeah,
good on them.
Well, just sit in silence.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
I wonder who's there for Wayne, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully somebody.
It's a very police-looking car that's just arrived.
I know. I've got a real police roll on them as well. Man, this is great.
Yeah.
Great chat.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to all. We will be keeping up our Patreon episodes.
Yes, so yeah.
They will be coming out in January. If you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, we would absolutely love to have you. We will release another of these episodes towards the end of January.
Yep.
There'll be plenty of updates then. We will have lived a life, had some experiences. Take some notes, Wayne.
Hopefully, Wayne? I've done nothing.
you're Wayne now.
Yeah, I'm Wayne. But yeah, we'll get another. Yeah, we'll get the Patreons out in January. Don't worry about that. That's all fine.
All right. What are we doing now? Go and get a feed?
Yeah.
Righto.
I was going to say, we're going to have a bum. And I stopped myself. But that's what we're going to do.
You've changed.
Yeah.
We're going to go into the bush and have a bum. If you'd like to listen in, become a Patreon subscriber.